take the toll away or smooth stay out.
Good morning, Rabbi Isai. If there's an interesting observation which can be made, if you look carefully, when you watch Haggadah this Shabbos, it's a very interesting phenomenon. We know that this Torah, the Sefer Torah, is written in Parshios, with Psuchos and Stumos, the spaces, every so often. When it comes to Parshios Vayetze, it's one long text. There's no breaks at all in the whole Sedra. I tried to be Mavara and Makor, I didn't manage yet, so I have to say it over the way I remember it and the way I understand it and interpret it, that Rashi says in Parshas Vayikra, what's the purpose of the Parshas? Why are there breaks? And the answer is, Rashi says, that Kedei Litin Revach Lehisboinim Ben Parsha LeParsha. Moshe Rabbeinu was being given the Torah, not just to keep going without a break, you have to stop, think about it, understand it, internalize it, and then continue. You can't just keep going and going and going. That's, you know, we have to take it like that. When it comes to Parshas Vayetze, Vayetze is where Yaakov Avinu, he leaves his parents' home, and he goes off into Golus, and he goes through all the troubles of being chased by Eliphaz, and about being tricked by Lavan and chased by Lavan, and all the other tzoros that went on there. A situation of Golus is a time when a person is not able to really be misbeinin in the same way. He can't really understand. The Bein Shalom is doing things which are hard, painful. And we have to know that we can't understand it. Not that we should just go by without thinking, but we have to understand that we can't understand it. And therefore, similar to the way Rashi says at the beginning of Vayichi, Loma Parsha Zuz Stuma, that there's no break between Vayigash and Vayichi, to indicate there's a blockage, it's closed, we can't understand it. So similarly, the whole parasha of Vayetze is represented, is merumas in that way that we can't understand the golus. I think this is something which we can particularly appreciate in these days. We don't understand what the Rebbein Shalom is doing, and we're not supposed to understand it. But at the same time, we've been given guidance by our Gedolim. Everyone's for sure heard various different chizukim and areas which need to be focused on. It's a machshava that I'd like to share with you, which I had a few days after some kastori. I was listening to a drosha, listening to a shir, and just the expression that the person used got me thinking. The person was talking about what happened, Rahman al-Tzalam, what happened to some kastori, and he used the expression about those Rishoim, he used the expression chayus teref. A chayus teref means wild animals, vicious animals, which is definitely an apt description. But I was thinking about it, that the truth is, a wild animal like a lion or a tiger, for example, a wolf, the reason why they attack is because they're hungry. They have some need to fill, and therefore they'll go and eat up another animal or a human being, whatever the case may be, because they have something that they're missing. Whereas these Rishoyim were out just to cause harm. And just to illustrate it, I saw somewhere, it almost brings out the point, somewhere in England, don't know where it was, some Meshuggah went into a restaurant and released a whole load of mice, yeah, in the name of whatever. Now, he didn't gain anything. All he did was inflict harm. So what did he? Nobody gained anything. It was just causing pain and suffering and discomfort to everybody. That's what they stand for, just to cause suffering, which is much worse than the Chayez Teref. It's much worse. It's in order to cause harm for no other reason other than to cause harm. And it reminds me of a Gemara. The Chofetz Chaim quotes this Gemara. The Gemara says in Tanis, Daf Tes, if I remember correctly, the Gemara says, so we can just find it. Okay, I can't see it right now. The Gemara says that Le'osid Lovoy, all the behemoths and chayis will come to the Nochash. And they'll say to him, Ari, I can't remember the exact lotion, I can't find it right now. An animal, a lion, attacks in order to eat, a wolf attacks in order to eat. But you Nachash, you snake, what do you gain? You just bite, you cause harm, but you don't gain anything. And the response is, Ve'ein Yisroin Leva'al HaLoshoin. Someone who speaks Lashon Hora is doing exactly the same thing. Chafetz Chaim speaks about it, there's no physical benefit from speaking Lashon Hora. And this is the Teichocha to someone, to us, to not to speak Lashon Hora. Because look, the Nachash is attacking for no benefit. And we have to learn from the Nachash not to be like the Nachash. So I was thinking that everyone, this is something which constantly needs chizuk, every one of us needs a chizuk in this, that Lashon Hora is poshut, to be careful of Lashon Hora is the antidote to what's going on. We're careful not to, chas v'shalom, hurt other people with our words, especially when there's no benefit. Sometimes we think there's a benefit, but really there's no excuse for it. And I was actually thinking, there's a famous story of the Chofetz Chaim, which I'd just like to analyze the story. The story was that he was traveling with another Rav, and he ended up in an inn. And the innkeeper served them a meal, and after the meal, the innkeeper came over to them and said, how did the Rabbonim enjoy the meal? So the Chofetz Chaim said, it was delicious, thank you so much. The other Rav said, it was taka, very good, it was just lacking a bit of salt. And the innkeeper walked off, and the Chofetz Chaim went white. He said, my whole life I was careful not to speak Lashon Hora, and now I'm here next to you, and I heard Lashon Hora from you. I think the whole reason, that the whole purpose must be that what we're traveling for is not really a mitzvah, it must be an avera, because otherwise this wouldn't have happened. And this Rav looked at the Chofetz Chaim and said, excuse me, Rabbi Sromeir, what exactly are you talking about? What did I say wrong? He said, you said that the soup didn't have enough salt. He said, no, and? He said, do you realize what you've just done? You've just spoken Lashon Hora. And this innkeeper is now going to go into the kitchen, and the mestama, the cook, is an almona, and he's going to shout at her and tell her off. He's going to be over the aver, we call almona lo sa'anun, and she's going to say, it's nothing to do with me, it's the girl who's helping, and then she's a yosemo, and he's going to be over called yosem lo sa'anun, and he's going to tell her off, and then she's going to deny it, she's going to say sheker, and he's going on one after the other, all the averas, and as he turns to the other rov, turns to Chofetz Chaim, so be strong there, come on. Bismarckism, you're exaggerating, you're blowing things out of proportion, it can't be, what are you talking about? So he said, you don't believe me? Come, let's go. And they walked into the kitchen, and he saw that exactly as the Chofetz Chaim described, that was in the middle of playing out at the time. And the other Rav realized that Chofetz Chaim was right, and he was nefayis, and he managed to settle matters. Now, if you analyze the story, we would not even consider that to be Lashon Hora. To say that some soup is lacking salt is not gnus, it's not derogatory. But the harm that it could cause, the Chofetz Chaim emphasizes this, and I think this is something which is often forgotten about. The Chofetz Chaim brings the Lashon Rambam, Rabbeinu Yonah, that Lashon Hora is either something which is gnus, derogatory, or speech which causes harm. Speech which causes harm is also Lashon Hora, even if it's not derogatory. And that's an important point to always remember. And halavai, we can all be mischazik in this important nekuda, even though it's got nothing to do with Parshas Vayetzeh really, but it's an important nekuda which we have to remember. The beginning of the Seder, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yaakov Avinu brochus, and he says to him by the Chaloim, he says to him, V'hoyo zaracho ka'afar ha'oretz, your children will be like the dust of the earth, before Atzta, you will be strong, Yomo, V'okedmo, west and east, v'tzofoinov v'negba, and north and south. And the Kliyoko points out that the Torah lists the directions not in the correct order. Instead of saying, the way we would say, northeast, southwest, or if you want, start from Mizrach if you want, but why are you going yomo, v'kedmo, v'tzofoinov v'negba? We're going opposite directions. So the Kliyoko says that the Pasuk, v'hoyo zaracha ka'afar ha'oretz, Klal Yisrael will be like the dust of the earth. That also, besides for being that the many, but it's also talking about when Klal Yisrael are on a low madrega, they're in a difficult situation, they're suffering, they're not in the situation of being respected. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring you Yeshua in the following way. Yomo, the west, is where the sun sets. The sun setting represents going down, someone's sun is rising means he's becoming choshev, he's becoming important, becoming respected. Setting is the opposite. So yomo vokedmo, that the Klal Yisrael are going to go from a situation where their sun's setting, where they're in a bad matzav, to kedmo, to the east, where the sun's going to rise. Klal Yisrael ka'afar or it's like in the lowest madriga, they're going to go up. And not only that, says tzofeno vonegmo. So for this you have to use a bit of imagination. We know in the sun rises in the east, and then it travels on the south of the globe, and it goes sets in the west. So the north never gets the sun, but the south always does. Now those of you who've got solar panels may know that. They always have to be south-facing. So the sun rises in the east, and so on the south side, there's always sun. On the north, there isn't. And it's saying that even if Klal Yisrael are tzofeino, in total darkness, they have no sun, no light whatsoever, it's going to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to change it to be vonegbo, going to be south, constant light. Klal Yisrael forever are going to shine. It's referring to the Gula HaSido. The Kli Yoko brings out the point. The Medrash says in Tehillim, the pasuk, the second pasuk we were familiar with from Davening, the pasuk says, Ki shocha le'ofo nafshenu, Dov kol ha'oretz v'tneinu, that Klal Yisrael, David HaMelech was saying that our nefesh, our soul, is shocha le'ofo, is bent down to the ground. Dov kol ha'oretz v'tneinu, our belly is stuck to the ground. And the next pasuk says, Kumo es rosso lonu, get up, give us help. This pasuk we say every day, Kumo es rosso lonu, v'tneinu l'man chasdecho, Kadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech, Davening, get up and help us. So the Medrash says, Ein hatshua ba'al Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael will only be zeicha to the Yeshua, ki im bizman shehem b'tachlis ha-shiflus. Specifically in a time when they're in the lowest madriga, like we said, tzofoino, yomo, when they're in the low madriga. Why is that? Says the Kli Yoko, because as long as Klal Yisrael are not in the lowest madriga, oz einon toilin b'tchoinon b'ashem, they're not relying on Hashem. V'choshvim tachbulois, and they're thinking of different ways lehinotzem yipach yokosh, to be saved, various different hishtadlos, various different things. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're not relying on me, as Hashem says, well, then I can't give you the protection that you're looking for. But when Klal Yisroel realized, kol kol akitzim, there's nothing we can do, we're totally powerless, we can't do anything. So then Klal Yisroel's eineim nesuis el Hashem, our eyes are raised to Hashem, likro elov be'es hatzar lohem, to call out to him in the difficult situation, Hashem shomea, then Hashem listens. That's when the Yeshua comes. And that's what the Pasuk says, V'hoya zaracho ka'afar ha'oretz. When we're mamish in the dust, we, as I say in Yiddish, gitten redan, mamish deep in a bad situation, that's when we recognize that we have no other koyach, only the Rebbeinu Shalom, only the Rebbeinu Shalom can help us. That's when the Yeshua will come from minachoshech ala'or, as he explained from the Pesukim. Yaakov Avinu promised, a few psukim later, just before Sheni, he said, V'hoyo Hashem li lelekim, part of his, a few psukim there, he said, V'hoyo Hashem li lelekim, Hashem will be for me as the Eibishter, I'll accept Hashem as the Eibishter. And the Medrash says, Not al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, si choson shel ovois, Hashem took the speech of the ovois, V'aso nafteach, and he made them into a key, Leguloson Shalbonim, for the redemption of the sons. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yaakov Avinu, you use the word Vahoyo Hashem Lilelekim, you use the word Vahoyo, so Chayecha, I promise you, Kol Toivoisu Brochus Venechomois, all the good, all the brochus and the comforts, Shani Nosin Levonecho, I'm going to use that same Loshon. And he brings a few psukim, Vahoyo Baye Mahu Yetzu Maim Chaim Yerushalayim, a few psukim, Vahoyo Baye Mahu, a famous line, V'hoyo ba'yimah, where you talk about Shofar Gadol, the nevuos about the Geula, about the Yeshua, using the word V'hoyo. Now, very cute. What's V'hoyo? What's the significance of the word V'hoyo? The word V'hoyo, this is a bit of a dictuk point here. Hoyo means it was. V'hoyo changes it from it was to it will be. It changes it from past to future. So, The first machshava which I want to share with you, I don't know where this came from, so maybe it's my own, maybe I heard it from someone, I don't know, that Hoya means it's been, means Yaakov Avinu was already visualizing the Yeshua even before it came. And that was the Zchus. A person who's got such an emunah in the Geula, that's the Vahoya, that's the future. And Yaakov Avinu was saying, Vahoya, I know it hasn't happened yet, but I'm looking at it as if it happened. So the Baruch Hashem says, you've got such emunah, such bitachon in me, then I'll taka be zeicha to it. And that's the significance of the word Vahoya. It's very often the mafalshim on the nevuos and nevi'im, very often the nevuos are expressed in the past tense, and the mafalshim always say that even though it hasn't happened yet, but the nevuah is so definite, it's so absolute that it's going to happen, it's expressed as if it's already happened, even though it hasn't yet happened. So that's the mafteach of the gulos and shalbonim, the sgula, if you like, of the kiyum of the yeshuos v'nechomos, the nevuos of the geula. The school is to have such a mun in it that it's as if you can see it's already happened, and that's what Yaakov Avinu had, and that's the zchus that we can have as well. I saw, also based on the diktuk of the word, in the Sefer Through the Prism of Torah by Rav Pinchas Roberts, that there's two aspects to the word Vahoya. So the Vav is Taka Vava Hepuch, is changing it from past to future, but additionally Vahoya also, the Vav also means and. And he explains, when you say and, you're connecting to what's beforehand. Yavov, Moisif, Ali, and it's a connection. What's the greatness of Klal Yisrael? So we look back, we've got Ovois and Imois, who they founded the nation, Klal Yisrael, and you've got Moshe Rabbeinu, then you've got the Nevi'im, you've got the Tanoim, Amiroim, and all the Gedolei Adoris. The Kiyum of Klal Yisrael is built on the foundations of the previous Doris. If we're able to look back at the Hoyo, at the past, what's been, and we say we emulate them, we follow Tzilach v'ikve atzoin, we can follow in the ways of the previous Doros, we've been guided, a trail has been blazed for us, how to live our life, how to follow the Torah, and with a Vav Achibur, we're connected to them, that's an assurance of our future Geula. And that's an essential thing, he's saying, that in order to be zeichet to the Geula, we have to remember, we've got to stay on the straight and narrow. And how do we do that? By being connected to the past. V'hoyo, the and the past. Always be connected. We've got the derech, which we've been taught by our rebbes, by all the gedolei adoros, and if we follow the path that we've been shown, then we will be zeichet to the Geula Shleimo. The end of Parshas Toldos, we had Yitzchak Avinu was given two instructions. He was given instruction, Yaakov was given instruction by Yitzchak to travel to Paddan Aram to find himself a wife, and he was instructed by Rivka to run away from Esav. So the Medrash says on the point that Yitzchak sent him to find a wife, the Medrash quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, Shirat Shil Amalois, Esra Einai Alehorim, Me'ayin Yovoi Ezri. Ezri, we know the Pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis, Esaloi Ezer Kenegdoi. Ezer refers to a wife, and he was going, Me'ayin Yovoi Ezri, where's my wife going to come from? Says the Medrash, because he said to himself, he was reflecting, Eliezer B'shol Sheholach Lehovias Rivka. What happened when Eliezer went to bring Rivka for Yitzchok? He took Asorah Gemalim, laden with jewelry, with presents, and here I'm coming with nothing. Lo nezem echod, lo tzomid echod, not a single thing. And the machlok is whether Yitzchak Avinu sent him empty-handed to begin with, or whether we're more familiar with that he did have a lot, and then Eliphaz ran after him and stole it from him. He had nothing. What me'ayin yovei Ezri? Where's my salvation going to come from? Then he said, "Mo ano moivid sivri min bari. Am I going to lose my hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my Creator? Chas v'sholoim. Leis ano moivid sivri min bari. I'm not going to lose my hope in the Bein Shalolam. Elo ezri meim Hashem. My help is from Hashem." Sounds as if Yaakov Avinu, chas v'sholoim, as if he lost his emunah for a few moments. And he said, what's going to be? How am I going to manage? And he, one second, I remember, Ezri Mim Hashem. So Beis Halevi explains, Avada Yaakov Avinu had betochen all along. He trusted that Kadosh Baruch Hu, from the outset, he trusted that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to look after him, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to help him. But very often, we need a particular Yeshua, and we think, I need, let's say a person says, I need money. So I'm going to get it from here, I'm going to get that, I'm going to earn it like this. He's got betochen, the Rebbe Yishmael is going to send it to him, but he's worked out the avenues that the Rebbe Yishmael is going to use to send him that, which is certainly a level of betochen. But a far better level, which is what Yaakov Avinu reached, was, I don't need to start working out. I don't need to give etzes to the Rebbe Yishmael Olam how to help me. Ezri Meim Hashem, Rebbe Yishmael Olam, I'm leaving it entirely to you. I don't need to think of etzes and methods, how the Eibush is going to look after me. And that's what he's saying. Avada, the Rebbe Yishmael Olam, is going to help me. But how? And then he realized, it doesn't make a difference how. Rebbe Yishmael Olam, you're going to look after me, and that's all I need to know. I trust you, and that's the level of bitachon which Yaakov Avinu reached on further reflection. And that's the Beis Halevi. And I heard once from Rabbi Yisrael Friedman, Ita, a very similar idea from the original Rebbe. The Gemara says that Mezeinoisov shel Adam and Zivuga shel Adam are koshim kekriyas yamsuf. Klal Yisrael by kriyas yamsuf, they were standing by the yamsuf. They had the sea in front of them. And they had behind them Mitzrayim chasing after them. On either side there were the chayos of the Midbar. And they were trapped. And they didn't know what to do. So it's reasonable to think, the Rebbe Yishmael Olam is for sure going to daven to the Rebbe Yishmael Olam. And he's going to save us. How? Maybe a pack of lions is going to attack the Mitzrayim and going to kill them. Or maybe there's going to be a huge sandstorm and going to blind them, not going to be able to continue chasing us. Or maybe some other way, and another army will come and distract them. Who knows? The Rebbe Yishmael Olam did something entirely different. He split the sea, which is something that in their wildest dreams they couldn't have imagined. And that's what happened. So the person has to realize the Rebbe Yishmael Olam's person's looking for Parnassa, and he's thinking, I need this method, I need this avenue. Rebbe Yishmael Olam says, just leave it to me. I'm going to do something which you wouldn't have even thought of, and going to bring you Yeshua. And same for Zivug, and same for anything. That we have to realize the Rebbe Yishmael doesn't need our itzes. He's got ideas far better than ours, and what we need to do is trust him. It's not to say we don't do the shtadlus, it's nothing to do with the shtadlus. It's to do with when we got betochen, we're thinking about the Rebbe Yishmael Olam, don't start thinking, well, actually, if you make sure that this happens, then this is going to. Rebbe Yishmael Olam said, just leave it to me. I'm okay, I know how to sort it out. And that's what we have to trust the Rebbe Yishmael Olam, that he's going to look after us in the way that he knows best. The Chofetz Chaim, in Sefer Shemit HaLoshen, makes a Pashto Cheshbon, which we all know, that when Yaakov Avinu was 63 years old, he received the brachos from Yitzchok. And then, as we spoke about, he had to run away, he left, to go to Paddan Aram. And the Cheshbon is that when he got there, he was 77. So there's 14 years missing. So Chazal tell us that these 14 years, Yaakov Avinu went to Yeshiva Shem Ve'eva to learn Torah. Very good, that we all know. But Chofetz Chaim says, what's going on, Yaakov Avinu? This is a younger man. He said, you know that you've got to get married. You've got to set up Klal Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu was very aware that Klal Yisrael could only be set up by him. He had to be the one to set up the 12 Shvatim. He said clearly later, but when he'd asked Lavan, he said, I want to get married. And Rashi says, that's a funny way to talk. And he says, yeah, because he knew that the Shvatim were dependent on him. He needs to be the one. So if he was aware of this, he knew that the future of the Klal Yisrael is him. So what do you think you're doing? Is now the time to go off to Yeshiva and learn 14 years? He was learning all the time anyhow. But why now? Why are you choosing now when you've got something to do? You have a mission. Now you're running off to the Yeshiva Shem Ever for 14 years. So Zot the Chofetz Chaim, Yaakov Avinu was aware where he was going. He knew that he was going to the house of Lavan. He knew that Lavan was not the best fellow around. He knew that he was going to have a hard time with him. And he knew that if he wants to marry his daughter, he's going to have to work for it. As the Chofetz, I don't know, the Chofetz Chaim says this, I don't know how he knew it, but the Chofetz Chaim says this. So, and he was on the way, he'd been attacked by Esav, by Eliphaz, all his money's gone, so he's really going to have to work for him. It's going to be a long haul by Lavan. Lavan was a Ramai. Lavan was a Rosha, and we say, Arami Oiva Lavi wanted to kill him, and the Pesukim say at the end of Vayit, say that he traced after wanted to kill him. He was full of the Zorah, the Terophim. Yaakov Avinu was afraid. He said, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be influenced by this low life, by this Rosha, this Lavan. What's going to be? How am I going to survive, whether it's physically, spiritually, how am I going to stay strong? He realized that the only thing that I have is Torah. The only koyach against this Rosha, against this Tumah, is Torah. And when I'm there, I'm not going to be able to learn Torah properly. And he realized, in order to fortify himself and strengthen himself, to be able to survive in this hostile environment, he would have to strengthen himself with Torah. And that's why he said, now is the time. This is part of my mission, part of my journey to Choron, to Padan Aram, is in order to strengthen, I have to strengthen myself first in order that I can survive. And says the Chofetz Chaim, that's why, and he didn't just learn there. Vayishka v'amokim ahu, the first time after the 14 years that he actually lay down to sleep, he learned b'hasmod rabbah for those 14 years. And he explains, the cheshbon is beautiful. Again, I don't know, the Chofetz Chaim says that Yaakov Avinu knew this. I don't know how the Chofetz Chaim knows that Yaakov Avinu knew this in advance. But we know, in retrospect, for sure we know, that Yaakov worked 7 years for Rachel, and then that turned out to be Leah. And then he had another 7 years for Rachel. And after those 7 years, Yosef was born. Then the Pasuk says, Vahi kasha yodo Rachel is Yosef. When Yosef was born, then he had the strength, he had the Lahava, Beit Yaakov Eish, so then he knew he had the courage to go away. Till then he had to stay there. So he knew he'd have to stay there for 14 years. So connected that, he had to have 14 years of strengthening himself beforehand, fortifying himself, building himself up with Torah in order to have the courage against Lavan, the 14 years that he would have to be there. The extra 6 years are not covered, but Al-Kapana, the 14 years that he knew he was going to be there, then those 14 years he had to prepare. So the Chofetz Chaim, I think the context of the Chofetz Chaim is perhaps, Baruch Hashem, definitely not perhaps, Baruch Hashem not applicable to us, talking about when youngsters would have to go to the army and they'd be away from a Yiddish environment for extended periods. Chofetz Chaim is encouraging parents to do what they can to instill in their children the Torah Chinuch, teach them Torah when they're young, and Yiddishkeit, that they've got the strength to stay strong when they go off to the army for however many years, and then when they come back, they'll still be Elul Chayin. But we can also learn from it that we have to know that this, the Torah, whether it's ourselves, our own Torah, the Torah of our children, that's something which gives koyach, and this is the koyach against the tumah of the world, the nisyonos which are going on. Everyone knows there's the nisyonos and ruchnios, and this koyach that we have is Torah. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim learns up from, that's what Yaakov Avinu did. Finally, there's a drosha which I once got, perhaps some of you have heard it, the drosha by Shimshon Pinkus. He speaks about the brocha of Asher Yotza. It's a beautiful drosha. There's one machshava which is relevant to this week's parasha, which I'd like to share with you. Chazal tell us, why were our imohis, why were they akoris, why were they barren? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu mis'aveh l'tfilosan shel tzadikim. Hashem wants the tfilos, in order to get them to daven, Hashem made them akoris. Which means, imiseinu means all our imohis, including Leah. Now where do you see that Leah was an akora? Leah got married, and according to the Cheshvan, she must have had Reuven within the first year. So where was she an akora? Where do you see that she was barren? She had children straight away. So he says that perhaps she was an akora, and she davened, as we know, the pasuk says that einei Leah rakis. She was crying to the degree that her eyelashes fell out from constant crying, in order not to be married to Esav Arosha. Those tefillahs didn't just help that she shouldn't be married to Esav. They also helped to bring her children straight away, that she didn't have to go through the tsar of being an akora. And what Shimshon Pinkus brings out from here, that we see the the gadlus of davening for something before the tzara. If a person davens for something before he's in this in desperate situation, then he can avoid the tzara to begin with. And he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos. A person should always daven not to become ill. Because once a person's ill and he's davening to be healed, it's a much harder mission, a much taller order to be healed. A person should daven constantly to be healthy to begin with. We always daven for what we need before we need it. That's a much greater zchus. We should be zeicher, the Rebbeinu Shlomo should mekabel ul atfilas, and we should be zeicher to geulos, yeshuos, and nechomos.